This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best in Islam. In this segment of the episode on clothing, we began earlier in our previous episode, we looked at statements concerning clothing, dress, etc. And we did mention a statement of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, that the best clothing or cloth is the white cloth. He went on to say that we should clothe our living in it and shroud our dead in it. So there is particular emphasis on white, but this emphasis was because of the fact that Islam put a premium on cleanliness and purification. And white is the color which will require the most washing and cleaning for it to remain looking clean. So it is really from this perspective, not necessarily that white is superior to other colors, but merely as an encouragement to use colors which would be natural motivations for people to keep clean. And we have a statement. Qatada asked one of the companions of the Prophet, Anas ibn Malik, أي اللباس كان أحب إلى رسول الله أو أعجب إلى رسول الله قال الحبرة. Which garment was dearest or most liked by Allah's Messenger? And he replied, the striped cotton cloaks. And this striped cotton usually was made in Yemen and included the colors green and others in it. So it was multicolored, it had different colors. And that is clear that though he recommended white, it didn't mean that's all you could wear. In terms of the type of garment that the Prophet himself preferred, Salama said, كان أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله القميص. The clothing which the Messenger of Allah liked the best was the long shirt. The long shirt is like what we call a thobe today. It's something like what I'm wearing. That's a long shirt in Arabic terms. Maybe it's a stopping normally a bit shorter, midway in the shin. But that was his favorite dress, being loose, wide, and properly covering the body, you know, not exposing what should not be exposed. So it is really because of the nature of how such garments cover the body that the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, preferred it. We also have a statement where the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, spoke about better with regards to garments and cloth. And Al-Barra ibn Azib, he related that once when Allah's Messenger was given a silk garment and people were amazed by its beauty and softness, he said, لَمَنَادِيلْ سَعَدْ ibn Mu'adh فِي الْجَنَّةِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ هَذَا. Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh's handkerchief in paradise is much better than this. As wonderful and amazing as people saw this silk garment, the handkerchief, something so simple as a handkerchief, of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, who was one of the companions of the Prophet, who died during the lifetime of the Prophet. May God's peace and blessing be upon him. He was the leader of the Aus tribe in Al-Madinah, and he was among the first that converted to Islam there. And the Prophet ﷺ honored him, loved him. The point is that this was, of course, a promise that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh would be among the people of paradise. And further, it is a reminder that the things of this life that we may treasure and consider to be so wonderful, so beautiful, so great, they are virtually nothing in the life to come. The wonderful blessings, pleasures, which will be given to those who are granted paradise, who are blessed with paradise, far exceeds anything that we experience in this life. Moving on to another topic, another theme from the best, concerning companions. Who are the best companions? The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, was quoted by Ibn Amr as saying, خَيْرُ الْأَصْحَابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُهُمْ لِصَاحِبِهِ and خَيْرُ الْجِيرَانِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُهُمْ لِجَارِهِ. The companions whom Allah considers best are those who are best to their companions. And the neighbors whom Allah considers best are those who are best to their neighbors. What the Prophet ﷺ is stressing here is that when we consider companions, who are the best, who we should consider to be the best, should be those who are in their own actions the best to others. Because if they are bad to others, if you see them, you hear of them, you observe them being bad to others, these should not be your best companions. The Prophet ﷺ warned us to choose our companions well, because we will be raised on the Day of Judgment with our companions. So therefore, we should be careful with whom we choose as our companions, meaning those who we hang out with. Because, as the Prophet ﷺ also said, that a person will follow the religion of his friend. The way his friend is the way he is likely to be. This is the nature of people, that they're influenced by their companions. So we should be very wary about who we take as our regular close companions. Another example that the Prophet gave, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, that the good companion, he said, is like the perfume merchant. Either you are going to walk away with some perfume which is given, or you're going to walk away smelling good because of all the bottles of perfume that he has opened. So one way or another, you're going to go away smelling nice. That is like the good companion. The evil companion, the Prophet ﷺ warned us, is like the blacksmith who is beating iron over coals, sparks are flying. Either sparks are going to hit your clothes and burn it, burn holes in it, or at least you will go away stinking of smoke. That is the nature of the bad companion. In the West, they say, if you lie with dogs, you will get up with fleas. It's the same idea. The example that the Prophet gave is a little more elaborate and more nice and eloquent. But that's the point. The point is that you are influenced by those around you. So be careful. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said, given us a sign and a way for us to know who are the good companions. Who should consider to be a good neighbor is the one who is good to his other neighbors. Not just he one who is good to us. Because if he's good to us and bad to other neighbors, really, he's not a good neighbor. Maybe he's good to us because he wants to get something from us, he's seeking some benefits or whatever, you know. This is the nature of people, that they may be good to us, but they're not really good people. So we should be careful, beware of who we take as our companions, as our good neighbors in the sense that we spend time with them, we go to visit them regularly, we invite them to our homes, we have that kind of a relationship with them. We should be careful. With that, dear viewers, we're going to take a brief break and then come back to look at some more of the best in Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Don't you want to experience the joy of teaching your child to read and write? Are you tired of paying someone to teach your child? Would you like to see your child reading and writing in just 4 lessons? As a certified reading specialist and experienced educator of more than 30 years, I can and will help you reach your goals, inshallah. I want you to experience the joy of teaching your child to read and write. I want to save you money, and I want to hear from you that your child is reading and writing in just 4 easy lessons. So don't delay. Start today.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. We're now continuing on with our program, The Best in Islam. We've finished topics concerning companions, though I should mention before moving on that Ibn Abbas had related that the Prophet ﷺ had said, خَيْرُ الصَّحَابَ أَرْبَعَ, that the best group when one is traveling that one should take with us are 4, made up of 4 people. And in some narrations he said, one traveler by himself is Satan. 2 travelers is like 2 devils. 3, 4 are a good group. You have those who will look after each other's affairs. You know, it is better, encouraging us better, when we travel as a group, as opposed to traveling as only 1 or 2 individuals. That's a general recommendation, to travel as a group. Anyway, we're moving on now to the best of creation. We have mentioned in the Quran, Surah Al-Bayyinah, verse 7, Allah says there, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Indeed, those who believe and do righteous deeds are the best of creation. So what makes people the best? It is the belief and righteous deeds. Because belief alone without righteous deeds, or righteous deeds alone without belief, both are failures. Of course, the greater failure is righteous deeds with no belief. Those are completely lost. But if one has belief, but that belief is weak, so righteous deeds are few, then one may be punished in hell for a period of time. If Allah doesn't forgive our sins, that the only way out was to pay the price for a period of time. And of course, no one should depend on that, because who is certain of his own or her own faith? But they would be taken out ultimately. However, what we should be striving for are the highest levels of faith along with the greatest number of good deeds. None of us should ever think that we have done enough good. We've got plenty of good deeds. Not to worry. No. We don't know what has happened to those good deeds that we've done in the past. Have the evil deeds that we've done eaten them up? So really we have nothing to show. We should always be striving to do as much good as we can. And to renew our faith. To make sure that our faith is firm, it's clear, and that it is not affected by doubts and satanic thoughts, bad influences, so much so that it no longer prevents us from evil. Our evil deeds become plentiful. We should work on our faith, be careful of our faith, look out for our faith, check our intentions, because this is where the faith comes from. It's the same place that the faith is based. Because it's the faith now which determines what our intentions are going to be. So if we're having bad intentions constantly, doing things for the wrong reasons, doing things for bad reasons, then this is going to indicate to us, this is indicative of weak or no faith. So we should be careful. And this is what this verse reminds us of. The need to not only believe, but to do righteous deeds. That these two are inseparable. True belief is going to produce righteous deeds. You know, some people say, while doing a lot of evil deeds, my faith is here. I don't wear my faith as a badge outside, etc. You know, I don't need to. You know, I have my faith there in my heart. It's between me and God. But if that were enough, then the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, would have said so. Allah in the Quran would have said so. But no, they have asked us to do other things. Things which are for strengthening that faith. If it's real, it will be strengthened by them. If it's not real, then we will be repulsed by them. We will feel, oh, we don't need to do this. Ah, oh, this is a waste of time. So you have people who live in Jeddah, for example, who have grown up in Jeddah, died in Jeddah, and never made Hajj. It's something unthinkable. Could that happen? Could there be someone who would live in Jeddah, which is 1 hour's drive from Mecca, and never make Hajj? Yes, it happens. And that person might have told you, hey, my faith is in here. But for them to die in that state is something. Allah knows ultimately what is in the heart. But it's a very bad sign, because what is in the heart is like the seed inside of the shell. When you remove that shell, the seed is destroyed. The shell is not the most important thing, but it has its own importance in that it protects the seed inside. So external aspects of Islam cannot be treated as, you know, peel. It is the shell of no real value. What's the kernel? That's really what it's all about. Well, that kernel will not survive without the peel and the shell. So righteous deeds should not be treated as insignificant and unimportant. Moving on to another theme from the best days. Jabir ibn Abdullah quoted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, "Afdalu ayyam ad-dunya ayyamul ashr." The best days of this world are the 10 days. The best days of this world are the 10 days. This refers to the last 10 days of Ramadan. The last 10 days of Ramadan, the month of fasting. Those last 10 days are the days in which the night of power occurs. The greatest night of the year. That night is worth 1,000 months of prayer if one prays on that night. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if one prays during that night, it is equivalent to the prayer of 1,000 months of worship. That is the greatness of that night, Laylatul Qadr, the night also in which the Quran was taken from the Lawh al-Mahfuz in the highest heaven and taken down to the lowest heaven, from there which the angel Jibreel would take the verses and the chapters and deliver them to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through recitation, etc. So Laylatul Qadr is as great as it is, a night which we should seek in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Of course, exactly when it is, some people say it's the 27th, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us it is among the odd nights. And the actual date is unknown. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did know, but Allah caused him to forget it, so that it would remain as something unknown to the Ummah, and thereby we would strive all of those, the odd nights, to try to catch Laylatul Qadr. So this is something which makes the last 10 days of Ramadan great days, mighty days, so great and mighty that the Prophet ﷺ pronounced them to be the best days of this world, the last 10. It's also worth noting that the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, during Ramadan would fast and would seclude himself in the masjid for those last 10 days. Not only would he fast as he normally would and pray, etc., in the other days, in the last 10, he would seclude himself and focus more on various acts of worship for those last 10. And his companions used to do the same. In fact, his wives even used to come into the masjid. They would have a tent set up and they would stay in the masjid for those last 10. It's known as i'tikaf, or seclusion, for those last 10. Something worth considering. Of course, in our times, we get very busy. The opportunities to get holidays, etc., are limited. But if you know that your job gives you 10 days or gives you a month's holiday, you can take 10 out of those to spend those 10 days in the masjid, you should try to do it. You know, even if it's one time in your life, and better to do much more than that, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used to do it every Ramadan. We should strive to spend at least some time like that in the masjid. With that, dear viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us in this episode of The Best in Islam. We covered a lot of ground today. We talked about cloth, clothing. We talked about the best companions. We talked also about the best of creation that Allah spoke. And finally, we closed with the best days. Bid you farewell now and hope to see you in our coming episodes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.